Hey, good morning. Today's class is sponsored by Ronit, Sammy, and their kids, Esther, Yadida, and Talia. Bezrat Hashem, I'm just going to give a little brief paragraph of her father. I want to make sure I get everything right because Ronit, Baruch Hashem, is Moroccan and a Scorpio. So if we miss a couple of details, we will get severely punished. Just kidding. All right. Lewishmat Moshe ben Terah HaKohen. Her father was a true warrior. At the age of 5, he lost his mother. He remarried, and they moved to Barranquilla from Israel. He was raised by his stepmother. At the age of 14, when he was already working, he fought in the War of Independence in Israel in 48, and he was wounded and taken as a prisoner of war in Jordan for 9 months. Wow. He was exchanged along with 3 other Israeli soldiers for 400 Arabs. Upon his return, he decided to move to Panama to start a new life. He built the electronic empire and was a man of chesed in the community. He was best known for being the best salesman of Aliyot in the community. Everybody remember for them. Through many ups and downs, his resilience was the most amazing virtue. He used to say, "Life is for the courageous few." This has been the biggest lesson I've learned from my father. For him, my family, community, integrity is one name that we all will live for. He is his devoted husband, putting his wife and family always first. May Hashem, his Hashem have an Aliyah. Wow, amazing, amazing. He's a true warrior. Also, this class is also in the success of Michal Abba ben Raphael. Hashem sent them Parnasa Bracha, Raphael ben Portana Shaloma. Also, success, strength, and building his life of hardships. God willing, also the Nishmad Yachmil Diana ben Gedalia and Fushalem of Rav Daniel ben Sara and Rav Shalom ben Yavna. Mizrat Hashem, also success. Yom Shemayim L'Shavah Ravak, Adi Yom L'Shavah, Shavah L'Shavah, Emma L'Shavah, Reina Malchim Tov Vasha. Mizrat Hashem, also please rate and share the podcast. And God willing, also May 3rd and May 4th, we're going to be in LA. Very, very excited. And May 17th, we're going to be in Manhattan. We're going to repost the tickets and everything. Really, really amazing, amazing class today. I'm getting a lot more into Rav Dov Rim Pearson. He has a book called the Haggadah. He has an amazing, amazing concept. I'm going to officially do the class on the Seder, maybe today, tomorrow, the next day. But this is just a concept which is so beautiful, which we can really, really relate it to some of the things in the Pesach Seder. It's very, very important that I tell very important. Rav Nachman tells us the energy you put into something is the energy you get back. Very simple principle in spirituality. Whatever energy I put into something, I get the energy back. So let's say I'm preparing for the Seder, and I'm putting a lot of energy into the Seder and into the meaning of things. That will be the extent of the energy that I get back. The last thing we want to do is go into the Seder, just check the boxes and move on and say, oh, what a nice... You'll miss an unbelievable opportunity for you to get liberation. An unbelievable opportunity. Remember, this first day specifically, there's tremendous amount of light that you can get that you can put in storage. That light in storage could be used throughout the year. So a person should recognize the incredible amount of light that you can get on this night. So he says here something very beautiful. He says... talks about the importance of a sense of urgency. One of the things that the Jews were stuck in Egypt, they didn't have a sense of urgency. We know that only 20% of the Jews left Egypt. 80% stayed in Egypt because of lack of desire and a lack of faith. This is a very common principle today. It's not really getting the person to move. It's why is he not moving? 80% of us are really stuck in bad habits. We're stuck in Mitzrayim. We're stuck in limitations. And we don't want to get out. The problem is not wanting to get out. That's the cry. Not wanting to get out. Why don't we want to get out? And that itself is the biggest cry. When a person has potential, when a person's, God forbid, he's a slave to a codependency relationship, he's a slave to something, and he just makes the new norm. That is a scary thing today. And we saw this manifest with COVID. You know, people just stopped wanting to work and just to get employees. And what do you mean? You don't want to work anymore? You don't want to live anymore? It just, you could see the manifestation of complacency that came upon. So this is what he's telling us here. This step here involves 3 steps. And we're connected to 3 characters in the Torah. Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe were three figures that were really, really responsible for the liberation. And he talks about unbelievable. The beginning of the Geula in Kol Yisrael began when they first regained their voice back. As it says, is after the king of Egypt died, the children of Israel sighed, and from their labor they cried out, and their cry out descended from their labor. They were in such pain that their They couldn't even speak, but they cried out. Precisely when they cried out, the process of redemption began. I remember myself when I was first, I was in such a dark place before Rabbi Nachman's teachings. Before I got the book advice, I was in such a darkness that I couldn't even speak. All I did literally was cry out to God, help me. And then the book advice came. First, you need to cry out. Then the book advice came. Unbelievable, but the book said, was the advice. First, the person has to want to leave. You have to want to leave. And that cries, that's a cry out from your heart. Following the redemption of the voice, there needed to be a redemption of imagination. Because remember, first you have to want it. Now you have to take the same thing that was using you, that's putting you in exile, is the imagination of being catastrophizing everything. Now it has to turn into manifesting. The same thing that you use to destroy you has to be now you flip the other way. Once one cries out that things are not good, then he can develop the language of what he wants from his life. Once one needs to dream, plan, and envision what he needs. Knowing that oppression hurts, and he's saying here, Kol Yisrael realized that they're hurting for pain. Their cry was not even a cry of tefillah. The Or Chaim says their cry was a cry of pain, of hearing this. One needs to have yearning for something new. In fact, that people wanted to move towards the freedom. So he's going to talk about three steps. Three steps that a person needs to get out of something. Number one, you have to realize how bad the situation is and to cry out. If you can't get to an understanding, when I say creator of the world, I cannot focus. If I can't focus, I can't write a book. If I can't focus, I can't teach the right classes. If I can't focus, I can't get to the levels that I want. If I can't focus, I cannot be present in my relationship. I need focus. I can't ask for focus. Oh, it's nice to have focus. Do you have it means I have to pretend, if I don't have focus, I'm dead. If you want to leave something, you have to pretty much say, if I don't have this, I'm finished. It's not an option. You have to have such a sense of urgency. If you're having an issue, for example, you have an issue with Shalom Bayit. You can't say, oh, it'd be nice to have Shalom Bayit. Creator of the world, my Shalom Bayit is so bad that if I don't have Shalom Bayit, I cannot have peace of mind. I cannot go to work. You can't make it like something, it's okay to have it, it's okay to not. It can't be like a Miami 73 degree attitude. It has to be like you're in New York, like 35 degrees, and if you're going outside and it's so freaking cold that if you don't have a sweater, you're gonna die of cold. It has to be that sense of urgency. Like you can't not live without it. That's the beginning of anything. Whatever situation you have, and the reason why we're not getting things in life today, we're very interested, but we're not committed. Person has a problem with a Brit. He cannot say, I cannot live with this anymore. It's not an option. It's going to affect my marriage. It's going to affect my parents. It's going to affect everything. That's the first step. You have to recognize how bad the situation is and cry out. That is the first step. That's going to represent Miriam, which we're going to talk about. But that's the first thing. Remember that. If you're not married, or whatever situation in your life, if you can't focus, my situation is focus. I'm very big into focus. You could have tons of money, but no focus. What good is it? Or you're stuck in the past. Creator of the world, I need to get out of the past because it's affecting every situation in my life. Oh, creator of the world, I don't have trust in you. I have anxiety all day long. When I had anxiety, I cried out to God, take this anxiety out of my life, because if I have this anxiety, I cannot function. That is the demand, and that is the type of intensity that you need to have. If you're not going to have intensity, you cannot activate a miracle. Bottom line, our sages are telling us miracles happen to people who are really are willing to self-sacrifice. If you don't have a sacrifice, heaven's not going to sacrifice for you. But if you're willing to go cry out, pray, and create that sense of urgency, which Tony Robbins talks a lot about, you need to higher your standards. You need to have a sense of urgency. You have to have a sense of urgency. People do not get out. If you're overweight and it's functioning the way you're moving, it's functioning the way you're walking, you're sleeping, you can't be that weight. You can't. It's created the world. I don't know what you're going to do, but I recognize how bad the situation is. That's not negative speaking. That's actually positive. It's almost like what happened in the Heat game the other day, like a week ago. They were in a slump. The coach slammed the thing on the floor, started yelling. He had to create a break the vessel to recognize this is how bad it is. You're going to lose. And you know what? From there, they went. All of a sudden, the Heat won straight games in a row, and they changed the whole energy. We need to recognize how bad the situation is. Second, you need to dream of a better reality. Now you have to dream that, what would my life be if I was anxiety-free? What would my life be if I was able to wake up in the morning and meditate and pray for 2 hours in the morning? What would my life look like? What would my life look like if I had no fear? What would my life look like if I wasn't so picky every time I was dating? What would my life look like if I wasn't so codependent? What would my life look like if I didn't worry about anything anymore and I just lived my life? What would I work out if I didn't care about what people said anymore? What would your life look like? To be able to walk around and physically envision that kind of life. And number three, you have to give the voice this vision and articulate it. Believe it or not, manifesting is not something... Manifesting has to happen when you're broken. Do you understand? When you have such a sense of urgency. We're thinking this is like a new age psychology of manifestation. No, manifestation really began when you're a slave. When you're really in servitude. You're an emotional servitude. And this is all from Mitzrayim. Every form of manifestation that you see out there today, it's really a person in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, trying to get out, pretty much. That's the basis of all of this. And these three elements of freedom are reflected in the three siblings, which is Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. It's no coincidence that the three leaders were integral of the redemption of Egypt. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, I have sent Moshe to lead you, and Aharon and Miriam. So now you're going to see how Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam three represent these three steps, which is recognizing how bad the situation is, seeing your life in the new reality, and talking it out into existence. Remember, everything in Kabbalah has to go through three things: thought, speech, and action. Everything has to be manifested. It has to go through these three steps. And besides all these things, the reason why they three were picked, because they were not actually enslaved. They were the part of the Levi tribe. So they were not in the situation. When you're not in the situation, it's harder for you to give advice. For example, many times we get other advice from other people because they're not so stuck in our emotional mess. They're able to see something completely different. So Moshe, Aharon, and they were part of the Levites. They were not enslaved in Egypt. So they were able to give the right perspective. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says, a prisoner cannot set himself free. Very important. We have friends in our lives. We always want to ask for advice. The reason why you want to ask for advice is because when you're a prisoner, you cannot see the exit sign. Remember, you cannot see it. You always need somebody else to help you. And Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam also represent the two cooked foods, which is the egg and the bone, correspond to Moshe and Aharon, and the bitter corresponds to Miriam. This is so when you're thinking about the meal tonight, just think about these things, manifest these things. You can go through a Seder, you can go through a tremendous spiritual elevation, or you can just check the boxes and just, you know, here you go, throw the matzah, what's the kids, and you could just be checked out. You're taking advantage, you're getting a lot of free light. And it's like getting a PPP loan and not doing the application, pretty much. All kinds of money out there, and you don't even do the application. That's pretty much the example that I would give. What is more, the Midrash says, the main apex of the slavery of Kol Yisrael occurred at the time of the birth of Miriam, believe it or not. And Miriam was 86 years old when this happened. And we know that the name 86 always represents the name of bitterness, of Teva. Kol Yisrael experienced, the worst experience that they had was when they had the 86 years. 86 represents the name of harsh din and judgment. And this is why it says they're bitter their lives, and Miriam was a concept of bitterness. So why does Moshe, and it talks about here, now he talks about what is the concept of Moshe. Moshe itself represents obviously the redemption, but Moshe itself, you could see that Moshe itself was not really, really that much into the Haggadah. We're going to talk about why. Okay? And he's saying here, the mitzvah of going out of Egypt began upon Moshe because Moshe, at the end of the day, becomes the actualization of this, which we're going to talk about now. So what he's saying here, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was not in the Haggadah itself so much is because Moshe, number one, they want you to experience that if I start thinking about Moshe, then I start forgetting about God. I have to start thinking God took me out of Egypt. But if there was too much Moshe in the Haggadah itself, we're thinking that Moshe took us out. Really, God took us out. The second reason why the Haggadah doesn't put Moshe in there is because in every generation you have to experience that you yourself are actually redeeming. The Haggadah itself, when you're reading the Pesach, you physically have to think that you are leaving your ego. It's not a history book. So if I'm thinking too much about history, then I'm not putting myself in the Haggadah. I have to picture myself that in every single one of them, Moshe represents my new mindset. What does Paro represent? Paro represents my evil inclination and my stubborn ego. So when I read Paro in the Haggadah, I need to think that's my ego. That's the stubbornness in me. That's the person that doesn't want to change. That's the person that doesn't want to listen. As God told him 10 times, let them go. No, the stubbornness. I don't want to change. That's the Paro in you, by the way. Right? Kol Yisrael represents the enslavement of our passions, emotions, and subjectivity. You know, just like an addict, he's a slave to the emotions. Remember, it's very important that you understand, when God revealed us, when God introduced us, he did not introduce us, creator of the world, I'm the creator of the world. He says, the first time God introduced us to the Jews, he says, I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. So there's going to be an area of your life where you're going to be enslaved. There's going to be an area, there's a paro, there's an ego that we all have. The Arizal says this many times. He says, all of this, the reason why we cannot be in the moment and we cannot live a complete life of complete, complete bliss is because of the four elements, which all represent fire, excess, anger, nonsense speaking, egotistical, earth, depression, and excess. This is the reason why we can't live from one moment to a moment. It's because of these four elements that are constantly dragging us down and weighing us down. And Moshe is within us. So you have to get to Moshe. The reason why the Jews did not listen to Moshe is because Moshe is the new consciousness. Moshe represents the liberation consciousness because they were so emotional. So first you have to recognize this: the beginning of our problems is our stubbornness, which comes from our small perspective, which is Paro. Second, we have to recognize we're just like the Jews, that were enslaved. We are also enslaved to these emotions sometimes. And third, you need to recognize your solution is Moshe. Moshe is the new mindset, which represents the matzah, etc. And what does Moshe represent? Detachment. Moshe represents, no matter how wise, detached, or objective you are still in an inner slave of reality. And unless you have an emotional desire to get out, you will not get out. So again, Moshe represents the neshama, the highest level. That means we only really change. I'm trying to develop this because there's a lot of lofty concepts. I'm trying to make it a very practicality. When you're thinking about Moshe, he takes the word neshama, Moshe, and if you add the name Nun to Moshe, the word is neshama. So Moshe, just think of Moshe as your neshama. We exit our problems. We grow when we're in our soul state, when you're able to see something in your soul state. Aaron represents your ruach and your emotions, right? That's what we need to rectify. How do I do this when I rectify my ruach and my emotions? That's the second step. The first step is to recognize how broken you are, which is Miriam. Miriam represents, this situation is bitter. Miriam is the word mar, bitterness. I'm so bitter, I need a sense of urgency. I cannot stand this bitterness. That arouses the yearning. Because if I don't get a sense of earning, remember, like anything in life, we only change if we have enough leverage. Miriam gets you to recognize how bitter the situation and arouses the yearning. She represents the nefesh. Because remember, you have to also, in the world, there's a world kabbalistically, you have to rise from the nefesh, which is the blood. Then you got to go to the emotional state. Then you got to go to your soul state, right? Anytime, and practically in our situations, first we have to deal with the actual issues itself, which is the tavot, the which is all in the nefesh, the blood. Then you rise up to the ruach, emotion. Then you have to deal with something emotionally. Then you can really, really see when you're in a soul state, you can see everything is one. So that's the same thing. Miriam represents it's primary. Miriam represents the nefesh. So first we have to want to leave that food addiction. That's a nefesh. We have to want to leave that fear. We want to leave anything. Anything Miriam represents, you have to have the sense of urgency. That's practically what you should think about when you're seeing the bitter herbs. This is a sense of urgency. I need to have a sense of urgency. And again, my biggest sense of urgency is focus. Focus, focus. I can't stand when I get distracted. It ruins my day. It just when I get into flow, I see that myself, I'm the greatest when I'm in the flow. When I'm flow, I'm productive, I feel the best. But when I get distracted every single time by one thing, by one thing, by this, it's my weakness. And I say I can't accomplish anything if I get distracted. So that's my sense of urgency. I'm crying out, create the world, get rid of these distractions from me, whatever it is. If you have to do this, if I have to hire a company for social media, whatever it is, get me out of my distractions. I can't deal with it anymore. Because I know where I could be if I'm focused. I can get to another level, beyond another level. And I know where I can't be. So that's my Miriam. And now the second thing is, I need to feel myself. I need to feel myself what my life would be like if I wasn't distracted. What hour you would wake, what kind of shape you would be in, how many people you can help, how many books you can write. You know, say that's my practical example. And that arouses my emotionally. Because remember, the reason why, they tell you, the reason why we like music so much, you know, for example, I started putting video clips, music on my video clips, because you could say something, but if you have the music behind it, that connects you emotionally to it. So the second thing is, when we're thinking about Aaron, Aaron represents the emotions. Aaron, what was Aaron known for? Aaron was known for love. He loved everybody. His emotions. That represents your ability. The second element is Aaron, which is getting to that inspiration. He was able to lift everybody up. He was able to give everybody an emotional lift. Because remember, I need to have a sense of urgency, then I need to have hope. And I have to believe in it. Because let's say I have a sense of urgency and I don't believe in it. Then what are you going to do next? You're stuck. So that's why you need Aaron. Aaron is the next step. Aaron is the emotion. The second element for redemption is to remove from constriction and limitations. This is where a person starts dreaming and desiring and using hope and manifesting much better. And the third step represents the Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the intellectual clarity. So remember, the first step is Miriam. Recognizing how bad the situation is. That you need yearning and motivation. You need enough maru, you need enough bitterness. You know, for example, I always tell clients, let's say they don't want to get clean. So you would tell them, okay, no problem. Just imagine another 5 years in this rehab center. Come back, imagine yourself coming back another 5 years. Or imagine, you don't want to work on your shalom bayit, just imagine 5 more years of the way you're going with your wife right now. How does that look like? That has to recognize that if I don't work on myself, that is, the bitterness is going to be so bad that is either going to create a sense of urgency or you don't care. So this is where you need that, you need the Miriam, you need that, the yearning and motivation. And that's going to be, that's the nefesh soul, that activates the desire. That just, it activates your ability to say, I want more, even though I'm nowhere. The fact that I cannot stand being in the situation anymore, I cannot handle anymore, that activates the cry, that activates the yearning. The second step is emotionally, which represents Aaron. Aaron represents feeling and represents the six, which is, for example, in Kabbalah, we have the three top, then we have the six levels, and then we have three on top, six, and then we have seven, and then we have the vessel, which is Malchut. Aaron represents the emotions, your ability to now use your imagination and now articulate those things and be able to now get yourself where you're, remember, we use our emotions to do what? To imagine things. We use our emotions to catastrophize something, or we use our emotions to envision something. You understand? You have to be able to channel your emotions positively. And the way you do that, because remember, if I have fear, what am I imagining all day? Things not working out. So now I have to start channeling, going to the same area where things were not working out, to now manifest. And that I use through the concept of Aaron. I start manifesting. Again, you cannot do this in the middle of the day. You need a quiet place in the morning to be able to manifest this. Put some music on. But first, you got to get a sense of urgency. Second, connect to this concept of Aaron. And that represents the ritual food. You know what the food is? Is wine. What does wine do? Wine gets you emotionally in a different place. Why do people drink wine? They no longer have fear when they drink wine. What does wine do? It closes the ego. It blots out the ego. It makes me feel like the real me. People drink wine. They feel liberated. They feel completely emotionally free. They don't feel anxiety. How many people drink wine for anxiety? So this is what Aaron represents. Aaron represents the wine. It represents feeling and speaking. And then the third step is Moshe. Moshe is detaching yourself from the situation, coming up with a realistic plan, and getting action, which represents the matzah. All Moshe wanted to do is take the Jews out of Egypt, but the problem was, what was the problem? They didn't want to listen. Why did they not want to listen? Because of the hopelessness and the kotzer ruach. This is not a new thing. This is all of our lives. What our issues is, we don't have enough sense of urgency. We become comfortable in those dark places. We're not crying out. We've allowed that life to come. Second, we're not in touch with our emotions. We're not really manifesting anything because we don't even believe in it. So we can't manifest if we don't believe. And the third, and which comes from lack of focus, by the way. Any problem, if your emotions are not allowing you to focus, you're a slave. You're a slave. It's a slavery. And when I have days like that, I don't take those days lightly. I say, what do I need to do to focus tomorrow? Those days, when you have a rough day, that is not a day to say, let it pass. You have to say, what went wrong that day and what could be done better? That's the teshuva, to be able to go and learn from that day. This is why any attempt to smoke marijuana, any attempt to block those feelings of this process or to numb this process that you have to physically articulate through these three steps is why you're stuck in the situation. And this is what the world does. Pain? Give me an ill for a pill. You have an ill? Give me a pill. I have anxiety? Turn the anxiety into cry out from your creator with your anxiety. Tell creator of the world, I need more emuna. I can't live with this anxiety. He doesn't want you to just medicate. And this is what's stopping a person's redemption. He just doesn't want to go through the process. Doesn't want to go through the process. It's okay. But when you're looking at the bitter herbs, when you're drinking the wine, think of what wine does for you. Wine makes me into a different person. But only if you're not using to cover up emotions. That means wine can make you into, give you dot, or it can make you into a pauper. We know what wine does for people. It makes them, looks like it, make them, it could bring the best out of you, and it could bring the worst out of you. And the last step is obviously the matzah. The matzah is the neshama. That's where you get chachma, bina, and dat. The real CBD. Chachma, bina, and dat. That's what matzah represents. Why do we have three matzahs? Chachma, bina, and dat. The matzah, when you're eating matzah, you have to think of matzah as consciousness. Matzah represents consciousness. Matzah represents Moshe Rabbeinu. Matzah represents already you're in the solution. You have strategy now. Before, you don't even have strategy because you're just wanting to get... First, you're in slavery. The second one, now you need to change the imagination from catastrophe to imagination. And then you could start eating matzah. And this is why in Egypt, what happened? The Jews could not... The Jews were taken out because they were such a low level that if God didn't take them out and give them matzah, they didn't even have time to cook it. You know why? Because if you have time to cook something, they would have thought they would have already gone back. It had to be on the run because they were in such slavery that they didn't even believe anything. God had to take them out. So this is something we should all manifest on this week. Think about, number one, think about how bad your situation is. And we're all in a situation that needs a sense of urgency. And if you think you don't have anything that has a sense of urgency, then you are completely checked out of life, period. There's something in your life that's broken. I promise you, something in your life, no matter who you are, there's something in your life that needs major work. I don't give a care how much money you have, what you're watching, what you're wearing, there's something in your life that you're struggling with. Guaranteed. And if you can go into that and connect to that and that level, not only will you get to such a higher level, but most importantly, the most important thing about going through a situation which we're not getting the lesson, the most important thing about going through a trial, that once you come out of a trial, you have a brand new strategy on how to deal with others. Do you understand? The world is running away from pain, but once you handle pain well, you have a formula now that you can use. You can franchise all your problems with the same formula. That means the same formula you have that worked, now take that formula and apply it to every single situation in your life. And guess what? You'll be always in the solution. But when we don't go through those situations and we don't grow through them, we don't have that franchise that we can now mimic and just build the mindset on it. And then we just complain to our Creator for everything. So take these things. Remember, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam represent the Maror. Miriam represents the Maror, which means the bitterness. The Aaron represents the emotions, which represents the wine, the heart, the emotion. Aaron was known for love. Wine brings out the love in a person. And the Mazda represents the higher consciousness, planning the situation. You're gonna get the awareness of what to fix. You understand? The Mazda gives you awareness on how to fix that situation. The other two are just to get you in the game. Then once you're in the game, you can win. The first two instead of being out of bounds, you're in bounds now. And then you have strategy. So may Hashem help us all, that we should all, this is a great book again, the Haggadah by Rav Dovber Pearson. There's so many meditations, but I just want to bring some practical ones that you're able to look at. Look at it, look at the wine, connect yourself emotionally to it. Look at the wine, look what the wine does for you. When you drink wine or you drink in a positive way, it brings the real you out of you. It brings you to a higher consciousness. That's what the wine does, to want to now refine your imagination. You don't walk around with this anxiety and these fears when you drink wine. This is why everybody loves wine. But they have to pay, they have to get it. If you're able to drink wine in Kedusha, then the wine really, really takes the best out of you. It takes your inner things. May Hashem help us all. And by the way, when you're doing this, all these three exercises are the 10 Sefirot in Kabbalah. All you're doing is taking the 10 Sefirot, but he's bringing it to you in three sections. And how this is how we connect to these three things. Hashem, help us. I hope the class wasn't too deep. I hope everybody's able to do it. So again, the first step is dreaming at yourself out of it. The second one is feeling, speaking. And the third step is planning. Think of matzah as planning. Think of matzah as consciousness. Planning. May Hashem help us all. We should get to that.